All right, let's dive into some fascinating legal history. We've got a Supreme Court case here sent in by one of you listeners, Huns v. Louisiana, 1890.
Definitely an important one.
Yeah, we're going to break it down, figure out why it matters, even all these years later, right?
Absolutely. Still relevant today.
So we've got excerpts from the case brief, Andy, the full opinion, so we can really get into the weeds on this one.
Yeah, should be interesting.
It gets pretty deep into some fundamental ideas about state power and the limits of federal courts.
It's all about that balance of power, states versus the feds.
Exactly. So to kick things off, the case brief lays out this central issue, right? Can a citizen sue their own state in federal court?
Seems pretty straightforward, you'd think, but
Yeah, you would think.
the 11th Amendment really throws a wrench in things. Basically, it gives states this immunity from being sued in federal court. And not just by their own citizens either, by anyone, really, citizens of other states, even other countries.
Okay, I see. So let me see if I've got this right. The case boils down to whether that immunity, that state immunity, still applies even when a state maybe potentially violates federal law, like the Constitution.
Exactly. Right on. And if we look at the facts of the case, we see this Louisiana citizen, J.D. Rouse, is claiming Louisiana did just that, violated the Constitution, hence the lawsuit.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the opinions. The majority opinion in Huns v. Louisiana was written by Justice Bradley, and he lays out a pretty compelling argument for why states can't be sued without their consent. What stands out to you in his opinion?
Well, he really goes all in on this idea of sovereign immunity. He's saying it's not some newfangled idea. It goes way back, even before the Constitution. It's like baked into the structure of how our federal system was set up.
Right. He even uses that powerful analogy, comparing enforcing a judgment against a state to waging
Oh,
war.
yeah, that's a good one.
It really highlights, how disruptive it would be if federal courts could just constantly be dictating to states what to do.
Absolutely, total chaos. And Bradley's opinion really hammers home that point. All the instability that could come about if states were constantly being dragged into federal court by their own citizens.
Yeah. And, he doesn't just stop there. He goes way back into historical precedent, even bringing up Chisholm v. Georgia. That's from 1793. In that case, the Supreme Court actually initially said states could be sued by citizens of other states.
Ah, Chisholm. That one's crucial for understanding Hans. The public reaction to Chisholm was so strong, so negative, it actually led directly to the 11th Amendment being passed. That shows you how strongly people felt about protecting state sovereignty.
It's like a direct response.
Yeah.
Wow. So Justice Bradley, he even pulls out quotes from James Madison and his John Marshall, from the Constitutional Convention, real heavy hitters. He really wanted to make the point that the founding fathers, they intended to protect state sovereignty.
Oh, absolutely. It's like he's taking us on this deep dive into history, right? And we come up seeing how important the 11th Amendment was to prevent federal overreach, to maintain that delicate balance between the states and the federal government.
Really fascinating stuff. So we've got a pretty strong argument for state immunity here. But of course, there are other perspectives. We also have a concurring opinion from Justice Harlan. And he agreed with the outcome, but he had a different take on how we got there.
Yeah, Justice Harlan's an interesting one. He agreed you can't sue your own state in federal court, but he had some issues with some of Justice Bradley's reasoning, especially his critique of Chisholm v. Georgia. It's a subtle difference, but important.
Okay. Let's unpack that a bit, because even among the justices who agree on this basic principle, that you can't sue your state, there's still room for debate about the interpretation, the historical context. So what was it specifically about Justice Bradley's view of Chisholm that Justice Harlan disagreed with? So it sounds like Justice Harlan, he felt like Bradley was maybe a little too quick to dismiss Chisholm v. Georgia, and its place in legal history. Like, he agreed the 11th Amendment was important, a necessary correction even, but he didn't think that meant Chisholm was just completely wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Harlan thought Chisholm, even though it got overturned, it still brought up some legitimate questions about how far state sovereignty goes, And he thought Bradley was being too harsh, like he wasn't really acknowledging how complex the whole issue is.
So even within the court itself, you've got these different opinions on how to interpret the 11th Amendment and what it really means for the balance of power. And what's really interesting is this whole debate from 1890, it's still relevant today. It makes you think, how much power should states have? And how do we balance that with individual rights, with the power of the federal government?
It's a tough question, and it's one that comes up again and again, you know, throughout history. And Hans v. Louisiana, it gives us this, like, this lens to look at those tensions, those ongoing tensions. It's not just some old case. It's set a precedent that's been shaping the legal landscape for over a century.
You mentioned earlier that Hans v. Louisiana has this direct impact on our ability to sue state governments. Can you explain that a little more? What are the practical implications, like, for us today?
Well, as we've been talking about, the 11th Amendment, the way it's interpreted in Hans, it makes it really hard to sue a state directly in federal court.
Okay.
So that means, like, if you think a state violated your federal rights, you can't just go and sue the state itself.
So what can you do? I mean, if you're in that situation, what are your options?
It's not a total dead end, but it takes some creativity. You can't sue the state as a whole, but you can sometimes sue specific state officials, you know, the ones who are actually enforcing the law or the policy you have a problem with.
So, like, instead of suing the state of Louisiana, Mr. Rouse could have sued, like, a specific official in the Louisiana government, maybe.
Exactly. That's the idea. You target the individuals, and that way, you can sometimes get around that state immunity shield and maybe hold the people responsible accountable.
It's like a workaround, a way to get around the obstacle that Hans v. Louisiana put in place. It's fascinating how these legal precedents, you know, can really shape how we interact with our own government.
That's what makes this case so important, you know. It didn't just settle one dispute. It set up this whole framework that still defines how citizens and state governments relate to each other.
It really is amazing how a case from 1890 can have such a big, lasting impact.
It shows you how important legal history is. These cases, they aren't just relics of the past. They're still shaping our world today, influencing how our government works.
Right. It's a reminder that this whole structure, the balance of power between states and the federal government,
yeah,
it's always being tested, redefined through legal challenges, court decisions. It's a dynamic process. It's still evolving, even now.
And cases like Hans v. Louisiana, they give us this glimpse into those key moments when these big questions about federalism, about individual rights, they get debated and decided. And those decisions, they can have a ripple effect for generations.
We've spent a lot of time on the legal details, the ins and outs of the case.
Mm.
But what about the human side of it? How do you think Mr. Rouse felt through all of this? It must have been frustrating being told he couldn't sue his own state, even if he thought they'd violated his rights.
It definitely raises questions about access to justice, you know? Yeah. Can everyday people really hold their governments accountable? Hans v. Louisiana, it created this barrier for people trying to get justice from their states. And we have to think about what that means, you know, what are the consequences of that?
It makes you wonder how many people over the years have run into that same wall because of this precedent. It's a reminder that winning in court doesn't always mean justice for the individual.
Absolutely. And it highlights this debate that's still going on about state sovereignty versus individual rights. How do we balance those things? It's complicated, no easy answers. But Hans v. Louisiana, it's a key part of that conversation.
So we've seen how Hans v. Louisiana was this landmark decision with all these lasting effects. But what do you think is the most important takeaway for our listeners? If they only remember one thing about this case, what should it be?
That's a tough one to narrow down, but if I had to pick just one key takeaway, it would be that Hans v. Louisiana really changed how we see the relationship between citizens and their state governments, you know? Like, it established that states have this pretty significant level of immunity from being sued in federal court, which can make it a lot harder for people to hold their states accountable when they feel their rights have been violated. I think that's a really important point to highlight. The case really digs into those complexities of federalism here in the U.S. It's not just like a theoretical concept, you know? It has real consequences for real people who are looking for justice.
Yeah, it's almost like this legal precedent created a shield for state governments.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it makes them less vulnerable to lawsuits from their own citizens.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if the framers of the Constitution, if they could have predicted this, how they would feel about it.
You can only speculate.
Yeah.
But one thing's for sure, Hans v. Louisiana definitely started a debate that's still going strong today. Like, how do we balance the idea of state sovereignty with the need to protect individual rights? Where do we draw that line?
Yeah, it's a tricky question. No easy answers. But I think wrestling with these questions, it's important for anyone who wants to understand how power works in our society.
I completely agree. And Hans v. Louisiana, it gives us this powerful case study for understanding how legal decisions, how precedents can have these ripple effects throughout history, you know, shaping the way we deal with our government, with each other.
So we've really dug deep into Hans v. Louisiana today. explored the arguments, the history behind it, and the impact it's had that's still being felt today. But at the end of the day, it feels like we're left with more questions than answers.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes, you know, the most valuable thing you get from exploring these ideas is not finding all the answers, but coming away with new questions, more nuanced questions.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So to all our listeners out there, we'll leave you with this. What do you think is the right balance between state power and federal power? How do we make sure that both individual rights and state sovereignty are respected?
It's not simple, that's for sure. But there are definitely questions worth thinking about. Hans v. Louisiana might be a case from way back in 1890, but it's still shaping the legal and political landscape we live in today.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into American law and history. We hope you've come away with a better understanding of how these seemingly obscure cases can have such a big lasting impact on our lives. Until next time.